Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. On Friday, just a few hours away from the start of the weekend. But boy, we got a tough story this morning, Len. Massive blaze up in Harlem, killing firefighter Michael Davidson, 37 years old, member of Harlem's Engine 69, father of four people. He's the nozzle man. He was there, first one on the scene, I believe.
Yeah.
They're filming a movie up in Harlem, 773 St. Nicholas Avenue. It's a movie called Motherless Brooklyn. Don't know anything about it.
Well, it says the director is Ed Norton.
Ed Norton, yeah. Bruce Willis is in it. William Dafoe and Alec Baldwin in the cast.
Yeah, he said, and Norton's in it as well, and he's listed as director and writer. He was actually at the scene.
He was.
Apparently, they were setting up outside to do some shooting today when this fire broke out in the basement of this building. It turned out to be a five-alarm fire, but any time you hear FDNY, and this guy's just 37 years old, has four daughters.
Four daughters, yeah.
His brother,
Michael
FDNY.
Davidson.
Yeah,
really terrible. Norton apparently walked right by the fire. He looked pretty upset. Witness says, crazy fire. You think a movie comes up here and it's good for the neighborhood, not a fire. Yeah, absolutely. But, boy, I saw pictures of it on the news this morning. That thing was blazing. I mean, we don't know the cause of it yet. But may well have something to do with the setting up of the movie. You know, they film movies in my neighborhood in the Village all the time. They block off the streets and the traffic. I have to say it annoys me a little bit because these movie people, they think, you know, they're empowered.
Own the place. Yeah.
They're empowered. They tell you, you can't walk on this side of the street. You have to go around the block. I ignore it. I walk right through. I say, look, I live on this block. I live on this street. You don't tell me where I can and cannot walk in my neighborhood. So I just walk right through and ruin their shot.
Wow, Riedel. It's a typical newspaper guy. They think they own the world. But this was the fire dispatch last night.
Now it's reporting a local fire in the basement. A fire reported on the first floor. 516.
1674.
1078 overseas.
And of course, the reports came through that you had firefighters sent to the hospital. There were two others injured as well, Michael.
There has been an emergency alert button activated with 1-4 Battalion Chief. He has been transported to the hospital, okay?
And WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini is going to be up there on the scene of the fire. Going to check in with her just a bit, so she'll bring us the latest up there.
Let's listen just briefly to Fire Commissioner Dan Nigro.
Firefighter Davidson was separated from the rest of the unit. A search ensued. Members tried desperately to find Firefighter Davidson. When they did, he was unconscious. Despite the best efforts of the members of our firefighting forces, EMS, and here at the hospital, they were unable to revive Michael.
All right. Michael Davidson, 37 years old, a member of Harlem's Engine 69, father of four daughters, dead at this terrible fire up in Harlem on the set of Ed Norton's movie Motherless in Brooklyn.
Awful. Just a terrible, terrible tragedy.
Guy's a hero. I mean, you know, runs right in there. He was the first firefighter into the building.
Yeah, well, the nozzle guy's the guy in front. He's leading the charge.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, Michael Davidson, well, we honor him this morning. Also in the Big Three, hear no evil, de Blasio, bombshell in the Mangaro trial yesterday. Harendra Singh, the restaurant owner who apparently spreads money around to lots of politicians, he said that de Blasio asked him to raise some money. And Singh said, well, it's going to be kind of tricky. I may have to use these straw donors. And what does de Blasio say? Listen, I don't want to know. Just do it. Whatever you have to do. Don't tell me. There's a picture of de Blasio in both the Post and the Daily News today, beaming as he looks down at Mr. Singh, who owned a restaurant in Queens. And de Blasio wanted him to go out to raise money for a congresswoman. What is her name here? Yvette Clark. He said, go out, raise money for her campaign. Singh says, well, it's going to be kind of tricky. I have to sort of funnel money here and there. I don't want to know, de Blasio says. I don't want to know. Now, naturally, his spokespeople are saying he knows nothing about this. He's got nothing to do with it. But this was a bombshell testimony yesterday.
It really was. And, of course, now, you said straw donors. So you have to, what, you just can't hand the guy cash and put it in his pocket.
It's a scheme. It's a scam where you ostensibly raise the money, you send it through, and then you pay back the people whose names you put on there as donors. So
right.
it's illegal, this straw donor stuff. This guy says he did it for de Blasio.
And he did it to get favors.
He was
a restaurateur.
Exactly.
And, of course, de Blasio's people then asked later in the day, because this was on the stand, Singh, who's the main witness in the Ed Mangano trial.
Yep. Your friend.
Yeah, my friend. And the mayor's office says, nope, nothing. There was no impropriety.
Well, I mean,
nothing
we're gonna,
to see here.
This guy just said it in the court case, so we're going to have to look into it. De Blasio is going to have some really tough questions to be answering today.
Well, but this has come up, and they've passed. You know, de Blasio's gotten the pass. This has come up. This is not nothing. This is not something new.
They've chosen
not to prosecute.
Hard to get a pass, Len, when the story is on the front page of both the Daily News and the New York Post today. Hear no evil. Corrupt owner. Blas said, don't tell me.
Well, Joe, who decided not to prosecute, and then who would decide to
Do they reopen this?
Can they reopen the case?
They could, but I think what they said is, you know, it's he said.
Right.
So there wasn't enough evidence to go to trial.
Right.
And
is this Vance who decides this?
There were two. I think there was Vance, and I think also Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney at the time, looked into the de Blasio fundraising.
I'm calling for a reopening of this case.
Well, this is a little more specific.
Absolutely.
That, you know, he's basically being told to do something illegal.
Right. By de Blasio. Just do it, and don't tell me about it.
Just do it, right.
Just do it. Now, there's more to this story. Rounding out the big three, of course, we have the revolving door at the White House. John Bolton, the man with the walrus mustache.
He's a hardliner. Look out. The Iran deal is dead, folks.
He's coming in. He's the new security advisor. Trump has dumped H.R. McMaster. John Bolton comes in. Now, Trump hates mustaches, but apparently he's
he does?
He does. I read reports he didn't want Bolton there because he doesn't like his walrus mustache.
Well, that's the
reason why. But he's gotten over the mustache, and he's putting the hardliner in there.
Maybe he'll make him shave. Maybe it's like playing for the Yankees. You know, no facial hair. The White House.
He's gotten over his hatred of mustaches. So McMaster is out. John Bolton is in, and also his lawyer, Mr. Dowd, is gone too as Mueller closes in on Trump. Yeah. So we'll be talking about that this morning too. All right, but first let's go to Alice Stockton Rossini up in Harlem at the site of this terrible fire. Alice, what's the scene up there?
The smell of smoke is heavy in the air. It's a very sad scene. I'm looking at a building. I mean, I don't know where this fire started. They're saying possibly in the basement, which used to be the old St. Nicholas pub. It was a jazz club here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like the fire just went right up through the top of the building. There's tons of firefighters on the scene and police, and the building just looks like it's completely gutted. And there's a big hole in the top of this building that was from, I guess, the 1900s. And this firefighter went in. He was the nozzle guy, so he was the first one in.
Yeah.
And it was about 11 o'clock last night. Supposedly, one of the actors on the set, Ed Norton, it was a movie set. They were filming here. They've been filming here since Wednesday. He saw flames. He saw smoke. And they called the fire department. Fire department comes in. This firefighter goes in, and it got so intense they had to back out. But when the firefighters backed out, he wasn't with them. They lost him. He was on the floor. He was unconscious. They tried to revive him here at the scene. They took him to the hospital. This guy comes from a family of firefighters. His father was a firefighter for this Harlem company, 69. His brother is currently a firefighter, father of four girls. It's a very, very sad day here. Talking to a man who does security here for the movie set, for the entertainment people that are on the scene here. He was coming in. You were coming in to go to work, right?
Yeah.
And 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And he might be able to. He's got a lot of questions about this fire. Would you like to talk to him?
Sure.
Yeah.
Here we go. This is Len and Michael in the morning. You're live on 710 WOR.
Hey, good morning, Len.
Good morning. What's your name, sir?
My name is Mr. Brown. I just want to leave it at that.
Mr. Okay, Brown. Mr. Brown. So you showed up on security, and what are your thoughts here?
Okay. First of all, I want to say good morning to you, and our condolences from Kesmo Entertainment and Security. Myself and Mr. Winston, we want to give our condolences to the firefighter that gave his life in this tragic event. Now, what did you want to ask me, sir?
Alice said you had some questions, and you have some thoughts about what happened.
No, I don't have no questions. I just told Alice, things that make you say, where the fire was, it's a famous bar.
Yeah.
The name of it was the name of it, the St. Nicholas Pub. It had been there for years. It's a jazz club. A lot of the greats were there. That's why they chose that spot, I'm assuming. They chose that spot because it has nostalgia, appearance, and everything is there. So it's been there for umpteen years, for a fire to be there and no one's there.
You're saying it's suspicious.
Hey, right? Mr. Brown, I'm just curious. Is this fire connected any way to the movie set?
No, you're saying it's suspicious. I'm saying things that make you say,
No, I'm just trying to put words in your mouth, which I shouldn't be doing, but you seem to be indicating that it's suspicious to you.
Yeah, all right. Okay, thanks, Okay. Yeah, but you don't know if it's connected in any way to the movie set, something on the set that may have started the fire?
Hello, Michael.
Yeah, Alice.
Yes, I'm sorry. What did you just...
Just curious, is any suspicions that it's something to do with the set, the start of the fire, something on the set that may have caused the fire?
I don't know, Michael, and I don't want to go there, and I just, is interesting, isn't it?
All right, okay. Yeah. All right, Alice Stockton... Alice Stockton Rossini on the set of the Harlem Fire. All right, thanks, Alice. Len, Cinderella is moving into the Elite... Eight.
That's correct.
Yeah. And here's a weird one for you. And why American sperm, maybe some of yours, Len, is heading to Brazil when we get back.
Plush. On vacation because it's so damn cold here.
Yeah, Len's sperm is going down to Brazil. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in with traffic. Bernie Bider.
Good morning, everyone. It's 6:25. We finally reached Friday. It's March the 23rd, and it looks like the temperatures are warming up a bit, and I'm seeing lots of temps in the upper 50s the end of next week, which is great for opening day next Thursday at Citi Field.
We're going to be there, and we're giving away Mets tickets, Len, at 7:30, and then a four-pack at 8:30 today.
And Sandy Alderson, the Mets general manager, will join us live at 7:40, so a lot of Mets stuff going on today. And speaking of sports.
Yes.
Howard Cosell. Speaking of sports.
Yes.
They've started the Sweet 16. I know you're a big college basketball fan, Michael. There were four games last night, four more games tonight. I care about the Syracuse-Duke game
for selfish
reasons. But the games last night, this is just wacky. First of all, you have this team, Loyola of Chicago.
Yes.
They're seeded 11th, and they keep winning games. They're the genuine Cinderella. So they won again. They beat Nevada by 1 point. The expected team to win last night was Michigan, but you have the unexpected teams also winning Kansas State and Florida State. So my question to you, these four teams that won last night, Michigan, Loyola of Chicago, Kansas State, and Florida State move on to what they call the Elite Eight.
Yes.
I've mentioned this ESPN contest where they have 17 million brackets.
This is the bracket thing. Yeah.
So how many people correctly chose that these four teams would all win last night?
Nobody.
I would have guessed nobody.
Nobody. Nobody.
349.
Really?
Is that crazy?
Well, wow. Sister Janet was probably one of them.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sister Jean. Sister Jean.
Sister Jean. Yes.
Sister Jean. Is...
Oh, yeah. She's the nun who was. She supports Loyola, right?
Right.
Yes.
She's 98
it's a Catholic
years
school,
old.
Of course. Yep.
Her name is Jean Dolores Schmidt, also known as Sister Jean. She sits in a wheelchair. She's 98. She broke her hip by now. Everyone knows who she was.
She's their mascot.
She is. She's just great. Everyone loves her. And here was the end of the game as they win yet again.
Side out for Loyola Chicago. And now the clock ended. Did he get it off? No. That's the game. That is the ball game. Loyola Chicago moving on to the Elite Eight.
Well, there you go. And they'll play Kansas State. And maybe we'll see Sister Jean in the Final Four.
Of course. I'm sure they'll give her tickets. Good seats. Courtside seats.
I wouldn't root against her. She's right there with the team, but she's in a wheelchair.
She's got somebody on her side, and maybe God.
Quite the personality.
She's working a miracle for Loyola.
All right, so we go from that to just this crazy story that I saw in the paper this morning, Michael. This is nutty.
Yeah. All right, so this guy, he wins the lawsuit for some car accident or something, and he gets $96,000, Len. And how does he celebrate? He checks into the Van Cortlandt Motel on Broadway and West 256th Street in the Bronx and brings three prostitutes with him. Actually, I think I have Starwood points at the Van Cortlandt Motel. Whenever I'm there, I get an upgrade.
Do you get the free hookers, too?
Well, let's not go there.
That's not part of the package.
I get my upgrade. I'm not telling you what comes with the upgrade, but the mini bar is lively. So he checks into this hotel, the motel, Van Cortlandt Motel, with three hookers. They have a four-way, I guess you would call it. And then some guys show up with ski masks and guns, and he's got the $96,000 with him in a suitcase, and they steal his money. So he's set up by the prostitutes. The idiot brings his cash settlement, nearly $100,000 with him, and now he's out, he's robbed, he's gone, he's broke again, all because he wanted to have a four-way at the Van Cortlandt Motel. And if you're caller number 17, you can win a night at the Van Cortlandt Motel.
Let me ask you a question. Who has their settlement of nearly $100,000
in cash? I know, in a suitcase.
Who has it in cash?
In a suitcase. I mean, and also, it doesn't cost $100,000 for three hookers.
Oh,
he could have taken a little bit out and put the rest in the bank.
Well, what's the going price here, Michael? You seem to know,
the Van Cortlandt Motel. Well, they have a rate card on the back of the door, so.
All right.
It's not $100,000, I can tell you that.
Well, I think this next story is sort of connected. That's the famous Peter Allen.
Fabulous.
I go to
my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio.
Apparently Duran does it too, yeah.
My name is Rio and she dances on the sand.
All right, different Rio.
I prefer Peter Allen's version.
I like it. When my baby smiles at me, I go to Rio. So what's going to Rio? American sperm. American sperm in truckloads, or I don't know. How do you send sperm?
I think you freeze it.
Yeah, well... Apparently, the demand for American sperm is skyrocketing in Brazil because the people down there want Caucasian, blonde-haired, blue-eyed donors.
And they, you
that
think
comes
they go
from the United States?
You think they'd want it from Germany then? If you want blonde-haired, blue-eyed donors,
Sweden,
yeah, Sweden, Norway, the Scandinavian states, but they want it from America.
They want it from America. And they say everyone wants a pretty kid. And they say in the story from the Wall Street Journal, for many parents in Brazil, where prejudice often runs deep, that means the white biotype, light-colored eyes, and skin.
Ooh, really?
Is that crazy?
That's kind of creepy, though, because do you remember that great Gregory Peck movie, The Boys from Brazil, where he plays Mengele, and he's concocting all these little Nazi types, and now they want blonde-haired, blue-eyed sperm?
Well,
I don't know.
Rich single women and lesbian couples in Brazil want American sperm, so American sperm is on its way. Babies in Rio in the same song. It
you
all makes
smile
perfect
and,
sense.
The sperm goes to Rio. All right. Coming it depends on how much they're paying, so I might check in with that.
Too. Coming up on 6:31, time for the latest news headlines, and good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Hello, Len. Our top story, of course, the tragic scene in Harlem this morning. 37-year-old firefighter Michael Davidson is dead after responding to a fire at a movie set on St. Nicholas Avenue. Fire Commissioner Daniel Nigro said the fire broke out in the basement of the building.
Firefighter Davidson was the nozzle man of the first to arrive engine company, Engine 69. They encountered heavy fire. They did the best they could. Fire continued to advance. Units were forced to back out of the building.
And somehow Davidson became separated, later found unconscious, died at Harlem Hospital. He leaves behind four daughters. President Trump says he wants to meet with a special counsel, Robert Mueller. He was asked about that yesterday, whether or not he's willing to testify.
Mr. President, would you still like to testify to special counsel Robert Mueller, sir?
Thank you.
I would like to do it, is what he said. The comments came the same day as top lawyer John Dowd quit because Trump wasn't following his advice.
He doesn't want him to testify.
No. Nope. Dowd was trying to limit the scope of any interview.
By the way, I bet he never testifies. That's just my vote. I don't think he'll ever testify.
Yeah.
If he wants it, he does what he wants to do, Len.
I know. I know he does.
He may just invite Mueller over for Diet Coke and say, hey, you want to talk?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on the questions. You know, he's a smart guy. But he,
I think this demonstrates his innocence. He is so confident that there is no collusion that he's happy to talk to Mueller.
He may go headstrong in there. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I just don't.
We shall see.
Yes, sir.
Former donor to Mayor de Blasio claims the mayor encouraged him to arrange illegal campaign donations. Harendra Singh is a star witness at the ongoing corruption trial of former Nassau County Executive Ed Mangano. Under pressure to raise money, Singh told the mayor that he would have to reimburse the donors. That would be like an illegal straw donation.
Yeah.
And Singh said the mayor told him, do whatever you got to do. I just don't want to know.
The picture of the mayor beaming at Mr. Singh is damning in the Post today, I think. He's like, you can practically see dollar signs in the mayor's eyes.
What good does it do if you have to give the money back to the donors?
You're limited. As to what you can give.
Yeah.
So what happens is you just give a lot of money and you reimburse it.
You use other people's names, and they're not really giving the money. You just want their names, and then you say, well, he's giving a donation. He's not really. You're giving the donation, exceeding the limit you can give, and then you just sort of...
But why is the money given back?
What do you mean, how's... What
the I thought your money's given back, you said, to the donors.
Yeah, the guy who's... Here we are. The guy who's giving the money, let's say, allegedly, Mr. Singh, he is... There's a limit on how much he can give.
Yeah.
Correct.
So what he does is he actually gives more, but he's giving it under the names of friends and straw donors, fake people.
But what good does it do if he gets the money back?
The straw people, they give the money, right?
Yes.
And then you pay them secretly, reimburse them behind the scenes.
Oh, Singh pays them.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, just trying to figure it out. Thanks,
guys. Good thing you're not a prosecutor, Len.
Ooh, boy.
The trial would go on all day.
Very confusing.
Speaking of money.
Yes.
How much money do you have in your wallet?
$96,000.
New research finds that 1 in 4 Americans hardly ever carry any cash.
Really? 1 in 4?
Yeah, because everything's plastic now.
Well, they don't have it. They don't have any cash.
No, no, no.
The hooker stole it.
Especially kids. Well, that's what they say. Millennials. This is Capital One.
Yeah.
This is millennials.
Okay.
A third of millennials don't carry any money. They just use their card.
Yeah. Okay.
They rely on those credit cards. For Americans who do carry cash, the average amount of cash that
have... $50?
$25.
$25.
Oh, yes. Ding, 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 ding.
$25. All the cash you carry.
That's about what I usually carry. For some reason, when I go to the bank, I always take out $60.
Yeah.
That's what I take out.
You know what? In the old days, I remember I always had to carry cash because when crime was high.
Sure.
Because if you got mugged and you didn't have cash,
you got killed.
Stabbed. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You got stabbed. You had to have money.
What does $60 get you?
I don't know. I just feel...
Really?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Somehow, I don't know what
Len takes out 600.
I take out 40.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, I feel if I take out 100, it's like, oh, I'm really depleting my bank account.
Well,
but for some reason, 60 doesn't seem so bad.
Right.
Well, because if I take out too much, I know I'll spend it.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm embarrassed to say this, but, you know, at Citibank, you have an automatic, you know, you
it
go in...
It was come out $400 for you?
No, I have signed... You know, you sign up for
it
a number,
automatic,
it's automatic. If you push automatic.
Right.
So, 300.
What?
You take out 300?
I'd be lucky if I have it in there.
Really? I'm embarrassed to say that.
How long
is that too much?
How long does 300 last?
Yeah,
how long in your wallet?
A month or two or something.
Oh, really?
No, it does not. I'd say a couple of weeks, but I like to, you know, I'll spend cash for things that people give a card for. You know, I'll spend cash for gas. You don't have to gas up a car, so I'll gas
How about buying breakfast for the crew?
Yeah.
It's on me. Cash.
Yeah. All right, everybody start ordering.
Hey, let's go.
We pay my hotel bill at the Van Cortlandt Motor Lodge up there in the Bronx.
Anything for you, Michael.
Thank you, Len.
All right, coming up. Thanks, Joey. It could be one of the largest marches in history. You know, you have the survivors of the Parkland school shooting are heading to Washington. So are tens and tens of thousands of others. That's all tomorrow. And we'll talk to ABC Sherry Preston about it when we come back. Plus, your next chance to win $1,000 is coming up at 7:05 here on 710 WOR. Let's go to traffic now and Bernie Viter.
Stations all free. That's iHeartRadio. All your favorite music.
This is Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones.
Hi, this is Mick Jones of Foreigner on iHeartRadio.
And iHeartRadio is all your favorite stations. Thousands of the best radio stations from across the country. Plus, iHeartRadio is free. Download the app today. All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. iHeartRadio.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday, coming up on 6:43 here at our studios in Tribeca. Okay, Len, a big march is planned, not only across the country, but perhaps all over the world tomorrow. March for Our Lives. This is the kids, the students down at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida after those horrific shootings down there have spearheaded a march. They expect a million people in Washington, D.C., and there's going to be a march here of students and celebrities and anti-gun people here in New York. I think it kicks off tomorrow, 10 o'clock, Central Park West at 72nd Street. They're expecting a ton of people to march
here
for their lives.
Yeah, I think they asked people to gather Central Park West, 72nd. The event is scheduled to kick off at 11 o'clock with speakers, and then march from Central Park West, it looks like down towards Bryant Park, or at least 43rd and 6th, which is near Bryant Park. And that's but the speakers will be at 11 a.m. I'm not sure who's scheduled to speak. I would guess the mayor may show up.
I would imagine he would, and they expect marches from California to Japan. So we got to say, those kids, the high school kids, they are keeping the pressure. They are keeping the pressure on lawmakers to do something about these assault weapons and gun violence. Let's check in with Sherry Preston, ABC News correspondent here in New York. She will be covering the march. Good morning, Sherry.
Hi, good morning, guys. How you doing?
So how many, any sense of how many people you can expect to show up tomorrow?
Well, you know, they're saying as many as a million in Washington, but it's really hard to tell on these things. You know, like the Women's March, there were more people than they expected them to be. I mean, the second Women's March, the one that took place in January, covered that. And seriously, it was like, it wasn't really a march. It was more like a shuffle, because there were so many people. You didn't really go anywhere. You just sort of like moved your little feet, you know, and you knew that they were talking. But I expect there's going to be, you know, a lot of people for this. I live in New Jersey, and, you know, New Jersey Transit. I know people are looking at the schedules and figuring out how they can be where they're going to be at the time. But yeah, what you said, like, this is different than what we have seen and heard before when it comes to guns and kids. I mean, these kids actually really galvanize themselves after the shooting, and they have three specific things that they want. They're not just doing this to go, okay, you know, we want stricter gun controls. They say, we've thought about this. This is what we want. We want a ban on these assault-style weapons. They call these weapons of war. They say they're not needed in hunting. They shouldn't be around. They also want a ban on high-capacity magazines that they say, if, you know, shooters do get into these schools with the high-capacity magazines, they can simply kill more people. And the third thing they want is to close the gun loophole and background checks at gun shows. They say there should be a background check on every single gun sale without any exceptions. And they're saying that's what we want, and it's very clear, and that's our statement.
We are on with Sherry Preston, ABC News correspondent. Sherry, what do we know about the New York gathering? Do we have any idea who the speakers are going to be, or what's planned?
It's hard to tell who the speaker is going to be, because I don't have the list of who is going to be there. But I will say that this is a march that, unlike the Women's March, unlike other marches, you know, in the past, I mean, this is for kids. You know, it was organized by students. It was planned by students. Some of the folks will be in D.C., like Miley Cyrus and you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda. I mean, these are students, you know. They're not adults who are making their statement made. But yeah, they have made it clear that's, you know, that the speakers, when you go to these marches, you know, you can't even get close to the speakers, really, because you're so far back. Like, you arrive there and again, you just sort of shuffle along. But it's more like just being together in one place. I mean, actually hearing the speakers is not something a lot of people can do.
All right, Sherry Preston, ABC News correspondent, will be covering the march tomorrow. The kids are keeping the pressure on the politicians, Len. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, guys. Have a good morning.
All right, you too. You know, she mentioned some of the performers in Washington. This is a pretty impressive list of the Washington group. They have Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato. Oh, she had her concert the other night was canceled because of the snow.
Yes, right.
In New Jersey. In fact, they canceled Justin Timberlake at the Garden here and Demi Lovato. Anyway, Ariana Grande, Demi Lovato, Jennifer Hudson, Common. And, of course, there's always a name I never heard of. Who's Vic Mensa?
I don't even know.
He's the founder of that Brain Society. Mensa Society. He's a really smart dude. He's a really smart dude. We're going to be talking to a student later on who will be participating in the march.
Yeah, one of the Parkland kids who actually is a friend of Natalie's family.
And so, she will be down in Washington, D.C. Yeah. So, hey, Lena, Playboy Bunny says she had an affair with Trump. They were in love.
Really?
We'll tell you all about that. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 7:06 on 710 WOR. Hey, you never have to miss Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning. Stay connected and listen anywhere with the free iHeartRadio app. Your favorite stations plus unlimited streaming music available now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com. And now let's check in with Bernie Biter and wrap it.
710 WOR.
Coming up on 6:54. Good morning, everyone, on the Friday. And I want it known for the record that when Michael Riedel... Oh, good morning, Michael. How are you today?
I'm fine, Len. How are you?
Nice to see you. You weren't supposed to be here. You were supposed to be in London today, but I'm happy to have you on board.
Thank you. Yes, I was supposed to be there for Andrew Lloyd Webber's 70th birthday party, which was last night. I got a text from his daughter, Imogen, a good friend of mine this morning. She said it was a great night. Sporty Spice from the Spice Girls was there. Mel G, nice. I guess they call her something like that. And it was a fun night, and sadly, I missed it because my plane, like many planes, grounded because of the nor'easter, the fourth one we had this month. So.
Prince Harry, Meghan, did they show?
No, nobody from the royal family was there. Right. So,
but anyway, so welcome aboard. I just want it known for the record that when Michael and I were discussing the stories we're going to do this morning, he said, well, you got to put Trump's girls way up there. And I said, really? So it was you who wants the porn star and the
Trump
playmate.
Harem. The Trump harem. Right. We got to deal with it, Len. We got to deal with it. I don't think it will make one bit of difference to Trump's fortunes as president, but it's all out there now because, Anderson Cooper, he can't get enough of these porn stars and Playboy models. He's the one interviewing all of these Trump ladies.
Well, I watched a good part of the, I don't know how much went after 9 o'clock, but at 9 o'clock is basically Betty Bye for me. So I saw Karen McDougal.
Yeah. Former playmate.
She's the former playmate. Nice looking lady. I mean, and I listened to the interview. She sounds very believable. Seems like a nice lady.
She's very poised, I think.
And she said they were in love.
Yeah, that's the part I don't believe. I mean, can you believe somebody as good looking as she is, as poised as she is, really fell in love with Trump with that crazy hair and the tie that hangs down around his ankles?
You've never heard the line, money makes you handsome? You've never heard that line?
No, I can honestly say I have not, Len. Maybe you have.
I have. The big line on Long Island. Here is
never happened to me.
Karen McDougal last night with Anderson Cooper on CNN.
We had dinner there for a few hours. We talked for a few hours. We had a great time. We were getting to know each other. We were talking about his birthday. And then as the night ended, we were intimate.
So she's talking about...
Wait. He's such a narcissist. His conversation is about his birthday.
Well, let me give you some context here. Their first meeting was on June 12th, whatever year it was. His birthday is June 14th, so his birthday was 2 days away.
Oh.
So he says they're going to have dinner at the Beverly Hills Hotel. You've been there, right?
I have.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, the security guard brings her to the Beverly Hills Hotel, but not to the Bay Hotel. Brings her to one of the bungalows. You've been to the bungalows?
I've been to a bungalow.
I've actually stayed in the bungalow.
Yeah, I was with Trump at the bungalow.
Yeah, well, there you were. I was just
celebrating his birthday.
With my family watching TV. So he brings her to one of the bungalows, and they have dinner, and they talk about his birthday. And then
romances her.
And then do the horizontal hokey pokey.
After we had been intimate, he tried to pay me. And
how about that?
Classy. Classy move.
Hey, here's a few bucks for your trouble. Why do I? Hooker?
What? Next time we'll
She's a hooker?
He tried to pay me. But she didn't take the money, did she?
No.
After we had been intimate, he tried to pay me. And I actually didn't know how to take that.
Did he actually try to hand you money?
He did. He did. And I said, I mean, I just had this look of, I don't know, just, I don't even know how to describe it. The look in my face must have been so sad because I had never been offered money like that before, number one. But number two, I thought, does he think that I'm in this for money or why I'm here tonight? Or is this a normal thing? I didn't know. But I looked at him and I said, that's not me. I'm not that kind of girl.
Who would possibly be in it for the money with Donald Trump?
A playmate, yeah. I don't know.
By the way, you know, my
unprotected sex. They had a lot of unprotected sex.
They did. They admitted to that. And my thought watching this, that if Melania happened to be watching this, I'd be signing the papers and just leaving them on the spot. That was my feeling.
Well, yes, every time you see Melania around Trump, they don't seem to be having much camaraderie these days. And now, what did he call her? Trump, he has a nickname for everyone. He called Karen McDougal, he called her Beautiful Karen.
Beautiful Karen.
Better than Crooked Hillary.
All right, now, speaking of Anderson Cooper, he supposedly is going to run that interview with Stormy Daniels this coming Sunday on 60 Minutes. And the lawyer has been making the rounds for Stormy Daniels. And every time you tune in, you see Michael Avenatti.
He's on CNN every minute.
Yeah, I think he may be a paid correspondent, but he's talking about the so-called threats that Stormy Daniels has been receiving to keep quiet.
I think this is about engaging in thuggish behavior, threats, intimidation, and hiding the money trail.
Hiding the money trail, yes. What Trump paid her, allegedly paid her $130,000 to keep her story out of the papers. She wants to return that money, tried to return that money, and now she's going to cash in, Len. And she did take that lie detector test.
She did.
That picture
individuals
of her
that are far more powerful than me, far more powerful than my client, they will ultimately determine whether those facts lead to something else.
Did you hear what he tweeted out yesterday?
No.
He tweeted out a picture of a CD.
A CD? One of the CDs you play on your stereo?
Well, the old kind of CD where you keep data or video. And he tweeted, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, how many words is this worth?
What's
hashtag 60 minutes. Hashtag please deny it. And hashtag Basta, whatever that means.
But we don't know if there's a picture on there.
We don't know what's on there.
Well, remember, one of the things she said when she was willing to return the money was that that would free her up to use all video, texts, and pictures. So we may have something interesting there.
Tune in Sunday, 60 Minutes. Tick, 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 tock. A New Jersey firefighter, just an awful news. He is now dead, killed in a fire on the set of a movie in Harlem early this morning. We'll talk to WOR's Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene. And your next chance at $1,000 is coming up right after the news at 7 o'clock.
WOR.
And good morning to you, everyone. It's 7:05. We've reached a Friday even. Good morning to you, Michael Riedel. How are you?
Good morning, Len. And the nice thing is the weather seems to be improving. It was actually a very beautiful afternoon yesterday. I went out and had lunch with some friends of mine after the show, and the snow was already melting away
really
yesterday
did melt
afternoon.
Away. So just a memory. And since you're Mr. Broadway, Frozen opened up last night on Broadway. And,
it did.
And your paper, I got a big kick out of this. Front page of the paper says, the smash hit Frozen, and then you open up to the review and they just killed it. They just called it awful and just for kids. The adults won't like it. Daily News, lukewarm. The Times.
You can't even get through the New York Times review, though. It's so pompous and condescending because exactly. You know the Times, the New York Times, that, oh, well, we have to deal with these Disney family shows. You know, we'd rather have, you know, the War of the Roses, that 9-hour Shakespeare pageant. We'd rather deal with that. We've got to deal with these music. Musicals.
I never understand the reviews of the Times. I just want to know from a reviewer, was it good or bad? You never can tell.
That's it. Tell me.
Exactly. You try to read a review in the New York Times, even of a movie, and you got to slog through 20 paragraphs of the critic showing off his or her knowledge about everything before you find out thumbs up or thumbs down. That's all you want to know.
And it's not even good or bad. Should I spend my hard-earned money on the show? Because for most families, especially a family show, you're looking at hundreds of dollars. Totally. And that's it. That is their budget for the year for Broadway.
Totally.
Yeah, one and one and only.
Natalie, you saw Frozen the other afternoon, and the reviews seem to say good show for kids. For adults, not so much. What'd you think?
The kids in the audience had a ball.
Yeah.
And the parents who brought them were having a great time watching their kids having a good time.
But Natalie, you're absolutely right. You know, if you bring your kids to see something like Frozen, the joy for the adults is watching how happy the kids are going to be experiencing oftentimes their first Broadway show. That's the fun for the adults.
I was talking to a family. It was their first Broadway show with their children. And I said, did you have a good time? They're like, they had the best time. And it was so fun watching them.
Yeah. So the concept
they left happy.
Well, the concept that it may not be a great show for adults doesn't come into play then.
Now, Len,
it's really all about the kids.
You're going to go to Frozen, and have you bought your Elsa costume yet? Are you going to show up dressed as Elsa? Let it go, Len. Let it go.
Come on, Len. Let it go.
You're taking your grandchildren. I want to see you in your little Elsa tiara.
My granddaughter will go as Elsa. I can guarantee that. She's 5 years old. She goes as Elsa everywhere anyway, so why not to the show?
And I will tell you, Grandpa, that make sure you bring your wallet, because at the stand with all of the tchotchkes, there's some great stuff. There's jewelry and besides the t-shirts and things.
Len's going to dress up as a princess from his era, Sleeping Beauty.
No way. I wish I were Sleeping Beauty.
Me too.
With these hours? Are you kidding me? Well, who's the guy? Olaf? Is that the...
Olaf.
Yes, the snowman.
Maybe I'll go with Olaf.
You know, and it's funny, because some of the reviews were giving heat that Olaf is really a puppet, but the man who's running the puppeteer is on stage, and you see him.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, you know what? There should be a point in your life where you can go beyond what you're seeing, that use your imagination. It doesn't always have to be the bells and the whistles and the special effects, that, you know, maybe you should watch this, because at some point I forgot he was there and I was just watching Olaf.
That's precisely what happens. You do watch Olaf, and the puppeteer, who's a very fine performer, good guy, been around a long time, he does a remarkable job, and he was not trained as a puppeteer. He was a musical theater actor, and they've taught him how to operate the Olaf puppet, which he does extremely well.
Well, our big three stories this morning, and unfortunately we have to start with just an unspeakable tragedy. Yeah. It was a 5-alarm fire in a building that was being used for a movie shoot. Ed Norton, famous actor, was the writer, director. He was actually in the vicinity. They were setting up to shoot outside. The building was no longer used. It used to be a famous jazz pub.
St. Nick's Jazz Pub, 773 St. Nicholas Avenue up in Harlem. And the movie that Ed Norton is shooting is called Motherless Brooklyn. Bruce Willis is in it. Willem Dafoe and Alec Baldwin also in the cast.
Well, a New York City firefighter by the name of Michael Davidson, 37 years old. His dad was a firefighter. His brother's a firefighter. 37-year-old Michael Davidson, the nozzle man, is dead. Father of four daughter is just 37.
He was the first one as the nozzle man in the building from Harlem's Engine 69. Really, really tragic. The guy is a hero. Michael Davidson, 37 years old.
In a few moments, we'll go to Alice Stockton Rossini on the scene, which is just heartbreaking. Also in our big three today, a New York restaurateur, Mr. Singh, is singing. He's testifying. Well, he's testifying in the Ed Mangano trial. Right. But he testified under oath yesterday that he steered thousands upon thousands to Bill de Blasio's campaigns in return for favors.
Yep.
The mayor's spokesman says nothing to see here, nothing inappropriate took place. But you guys, really, you need this, you have to button down this definition. You're talking about straw donors, and I'm trying to figure out what that means. You're saying that other people give money, but Singh pays them back. Singh that gives the money.
So there are limits on how much you can contribute to a political campaign, right?
Correct. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Singh can only give, let's say, maybe $2,000,
maybe two or three.
That's all he can give, but he wants to give a lot more in exchange for favors.
For favors. So
what he does is he has friends of his, people he knows, they give money in their names, and then Singh secretly reimburses them. So in fact, it's Singh who's giving the ton of money in exchange for the favors. And that's why they call them straw donations, because they're fake.
Now keep in mind, too, this wasn't for the mayor's campaign. It was for another Senate campaign.
Yes, but according to Singh, now this is what Singh says, it was de Blasio who asked him to contribute money to Congresswoman Yvette Clark's campaign.
Well, that was all part of the bit. De Blasio was raising money to support Democrats in state Senate races. Yeah. So, you would donate the money towards de Blasio, but he'd say, no, you give it over there.
Give it to Yvette Clark and whatnot. And then he says, according to Singh, and I don't care how you do it, I don't care how you raise that money, I don't care how you get that money to her, do it.
There's no guilt on his part.
Really? You think that the guy's been in politics his whole life? You think he has no idea how it works?
No, I understand that, but you can't. You know, if I told you to go rob a bank, you're not going to hold me accountable.
I would.
Well, how about that person who told her boyfriend to kill himself? Remember, she was held accountable?
Yeah, but that's different. That, she was personally involved in this thing.
Well, I was not right there next to him. Anyway, rounding out our big three today, a lot of Trump world. First of all, the White House has the revolving door. You got a new national security advisor. One of his top lawyers on the Russian deal has walked out. Also, the market's tanked after the president proposed tariffs on China. China has now fought back overnight. But I thought this was the best line from Trump. He was addressing some young people, and he faced this question.
What advice would you give to the 25-year-old Donald Trump, knowing what you know today?
Don't run for president.
Don't run for president. Then when he went on to say, no, it was kind of cute. He went on to say that the media just, he used to love the media. Now they just beat him up all the time.
Did you think he's sorry that he's actually got the job now?
I don't think so. I think he likes to win. I think he's making a joke. That's okay. All. Just all right. Making a joke.
We have Mets tickets for you coming up in just a few minutes at 7:30. And then we have a 4-pack of Mets tickets coming your way at 8:30. And Mets general manager Sandy Alderson will join us right after the news at 7:30. So somewhere around 7:40, we'll hear from Sandy Alderson. But right now, let's head to the scene of the tragic fire, which killed a New York City firefighter named Michael Davidson, just 37 years old. Let's go to Alice Stockton-Rosini. Hi, Alice.
How you doing, guys? You know, we're in the Hamilton Heights section of Harlem, a very famous section of Harlem. And this fire allegedly started in the basement. It looks like it just ate the building out. It is completely gutted, and there's a big hole in the top of this building. It moved fast and furious, and by the time firefighters got here, it was just this raging inferno. And they went into the basement. And, you know, Davidson had the nozzle. He was the first one in. The flames just made them retreat, and he did not make it out with them. It's a very sad day in Harlem. And talking to people going, you know, to work in the neighborhood, Elaine lives right down the street. And she said there's been a lot of action in this neighborhood. There's always a lot of filming here, but there's been a lot of other action here, too.
A lot of reconstruction is going on in these areas. And they're working on the electrical and plumbing systems. So anything can go wrong. Now, I do remember that, was it 2 days ago, Con Ed was in this block, and they were working on something.
Wow. That's a piece of information.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were setting up to shoot this movie, Ed Norton and his crew. They were going to be shooting a scene outside this landmark when the fire broke out in the landmark.
Correct. And that's what's sad is that this was a very famous jazz club, but they were using the site because the bar and everything is still there, even though it wasn't in use anymore. And they were filming on the outside when Norton allegedly saw smoke, and that's when he called cops, and they called the firefighters to come in. But she said, yeah, it was a very famous jazz club.
St. Nick's
well,
Jazz
they
Club.
They are pretty old. They're pretty old buildings, but... The sad part of it is that was a landmark. It was closed anyway. And many, many famous jazz musicians used to go there. So I guess maybe with all of the equipment and, you know, production items, maybe something flared up.
Mm. Yeah, there's speculation something might have been going on with the electric in the building and the movie crews trying to set up lighting and whatnot. Lots of speculation, but that's all it is at this point. It's only speculation. And I'm sure you know this, Michael, the big jazz community here at one time.
Yeah, absolutely. St. Nick's Jazz Pub was very, very famous. The great, great jazz musicians played there often.
Very famous area. About 5 or 6 blocks up is where Duke Ellington used to live. Mm. And in my building alone, 405, there were nothing but jazz musicians there. And I have to say that my family was in the industry. And my cousins are the Ronettes. Remember them?
Yeah.
Ronnie Spector is my cousin.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah. All right, thanks, Alice. Good stuff. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Alice.
Alice Stockton-Rosini on the scene of the horrific
terrible fire. Michael Davidson, 37-year-old firefighter, dead.
President Trump shaking up his national security team and his legal team. He does want to talk about the Russian investigation. That's coming up, plus your next chance at $1,000. Coming up at 8:05. Now Bernie Viter has traffic.
Good morning, everybody. At 7:25, you're going to want to be near a telephone, Len, because at 7:30, we are giving away a pair of Mets tickets right at 7:30 on the dot. 1-800-321-0710. I will announce it at 7:30. A pair of Mets tickets. Very exciting, Len.
Don't call now.
Don't call now. 7:30.
Mets general manager Sandy Alderson. And what's he going to do with this club? What's he going to do with Zach Wheeler and Michael Conforto and other decisions he has to make? So we'll get him right from the horse's mouth. Sandy Alderson, general manager at 7:40. And then more Mets tickets. We have a four-pack coming your way at 8:30.
Yeah. Now, I think, Len, finally things have settled down in the White House.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's calm now. Trump's got his team in place.
Really?
That revolving door is actually still flying off its hinges. So we've got John Bolton is the new national security advisor. Now, I got to tell you, I am a fan of John Bolton.
You are.
I thought he was a terrific UN ambassador under George Bush.
He's a hardliner.
He stood up to all those corrupt despots who are at the UN, living high on the hog from their countries here in their fancy townhouses when they're plundering their countries. Bolton stood up to them. I happen to be a fan of his walrus mustache. I think it's great that Trump, who hates facial hair, has managed to overlook the mustache. And he brought John Bolton in. Bolton's a hardliner. It's going to be interesting to see where he comes down on North Korea. But Trump is getting his guys in place for that upcoming meeting with Kim Jong-un coming up in May, I think. And they're going to be tough, but I don't think Bolton is going to be against talks with North Korea.
Well, it's just that obviously the president liked hearing what Bolton had to say
on Fox.
Yes. He also hired that lawyer DeGeneva from Fox. And I'm just surprised he doesn't make Sean Hannity Secretary of State. I think that would just be a natural trifecta. I really
that could be it. But John Dow, the president's lawyer, he's out. Trump says he wants to talk to Mueller.
Yeah, he does. He admits it. He was asked point blank right here. It's hard to hear a little bit, but he was asked.
Mr. President, would you still like to testify to Special Counsel Robert Mueller, sir?
Thank you.
I would like to.
I would like to, and he said it twice.
Yeah,
he would. He was asked by CNN's Zeleny.
Well, John Dowd's lawyer, counseled him against testifying, didn't want him to do it, but he's out, and DeGeneva, we'll see where he comes down on this. My feeling is Trump seems pretty confident in talking to Mueller, which leads me to think Trump is not worried about any evidence of collusion with the Russians.
Okay, I have no inside knowledge of anything.
The illusion of collusion, Len, that's what it is.
I just think never in a million years will his people allow him to testify. I just don't think he'll ever testify to Mueller. I don't think.
Yeah, maybe. But you may have noticed he has a way of doing things despite what people advise him to do. He may call Mueller over for a Diet Coke and just say, hey, bring the Bible over, I'll swear on the oath, and let's chat.
Yeah, well, how about Bolton? Will he be a hardliner? What are his views, Iran and North Korea?
I think that's something we want to avoid, and that, I think, is why the way the president has approached this, very much in along the line of Ronald Reagan, of peace through strength is important, that the surest way to avoid conflict is to have a strong military capability.
So he's
that's
trying,
why I like Bolton.
Well, he's trying to downplay the idea that he wants to go to war. He wants to, do it through negotiations.
It's not that we would agree on everything or with our other colleagues in the national security community. And I don't think the president wants that. I think the president wants debate and discussion. He wants to know what the possible courses of action are. And then he'll make the decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the big question is he going to shave his mustache, though?
Is that the big question?
Well, Trump does not like facial hair, and I read somewhere
that... How do you know that?
Because there was gossip out there that Trump was concerned about bringing Bolton in because he doesn't like the guy's walrus mustache.
What about Ty Cobb? He's got this big, goofy mustache.
Well, maybe he prefers the little mustache with the twirly cues on the end, and he doesn't like the walrus mustache that sort of goes down around your sad little face.
By the way, this was funny yesterday when a young man asked the president...
What advice would you give to the 25-year-old Donald Trump knowing what you know today?
Don't run for president.
Now, which I thought was pretty funny. Now, here's what Trump said afterwards.
All my life, I've gotten really, look, we all get every once in a while a knock, but I got the greatest publicity. I was getting such great until I ran for office.
Welcome to politics, Mr. President.
I know. He misses the days where the New York media was in love with him. And remember, he used to pop up on all the radio shows and whatnot with his political knowledge and whatnot. He was all over the place.
He'd call up with bogus names. He'd say he's John Miller, and he heard that all the women love Trump. And
That's it. All right. And it is now 7:30, which means it's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Cardinals on March 31st at Citi Field. Be caller number 16. Caller number 16 at 1-800-321-0710. And you're the winner, brought to you by the New York Mets and Coca-Cola. Opening weekend at Citi Field features a Mets Build-A-Bear Teddy giveaway to the first 15,000 fans in attendance on Saturday, March 31st, and a tote bag giveaway to all fans on Sunday, April 1st. For tickets to opening weekend, go to Mets.com/tickets. And now let's get the news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael, 37-year-old firefighter is dead after a fire at a movie set in Harlem last night. Michael Davidson was among the first on the scene at St. Nicholas Avenue. He became separated from his crew when the flames forced the crew to back out of the building.
Members tried desperately to find firefighter Davidson. When they did, he was unconscious. Despite the best efforts of the members of our firefighting forces, EMS, and here at the hospital, they were unable to revive Michael.
Fire Commissioner Daniel Nigro there. Davidson is a 15-year veteran of the FDNY, the father of four daughters. The movie being filmed there was Motherless Brooklyn, starring Ed Norton and Bruce Willis. Cynthia Nixon has only been a candidate for governor of New York a couple of days, but she says New Yorkers are already rallying behind her, giving her more small donations than Governor Cuomo has received in 7 years. And the governor seemed a little irritated when he was asked about that.
I'm going to go back and work on the budget, and then we'll answer your small questions.
All right.
Oh, really?
He is so arrogant. That thug governor of ours is so arrogant. Cynthia Nixon is practically a communist, but she's got my support, even though I'm a Republican and I can't vote in the primary. I wanted to take down that thug.
Well, I'll soften it. Just say that's a little smug.
He's the smug thug.
Really? Come on. We'll answer your little questions.
Little questions,
thanks,
please.
Thanks, governor. Very
he
nice.
So, he must be loathed by most people in Albany, this governor of ours.
Well, from what I understand, he is. He doesn't have a lot of friends, but he is so powerful, you really don't want to oppose him or go against him.
Go, Cynthia!
Yeah, because the thing is, you know, he's probably going to be governor.
Well, probably.
If I had to bet...
The odds are.
You don't think she can take him down?
No. No, she can wound him, but then again, you know, we really... Don't see a Republican on
the
horizon that's going to beat him in November.
I'm going to run.
No. We need you here.
But if I had to bet, he wouldn't win re-election. But you never know.
Yeah, right.
Hey, speaking of campaign donations, former donor to the mayor claims the mayor encouraged him to arrange illegal campaign donations. Mm. Arendra Singh, a star witness now with the corruption trial of Ed Mangano in Nassau County. Under pressure to raise money, Singh says he told de Blasio he'd have to reimburse the donors. That would mean these are going to have to be straw donations, which are illegal. The mayor said, do whatever you have to do, just don't tell me.
Do whatever you have to do, just don't tell me.
Yep, that's great. I'm looking the other way. Just don't let me in on the corruption.
By the way, the mayor's office says, nothing. There was no impropriety.
We shall see.
I don't think so. Hey, Asian stocks sharply lower this morning after the Wall Street closed. The Japanese Nikkei Index closed down 4.5% this morning.
Wow, that's a huge drop.
Yeah, that's a huge drop. Hang Seng in Hong Kong off more than 3%. Same in Shanghai. Of course, on Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 3%, 724 points. The futures at the moment are lower, down 83. Dow futures down 83. The European markets are also lower this morning. So we'll see this all on fears of a trade war.
Well, China has said they're going to fight back and tax some of our goods.
They said they're going to tax Chinese wine. I mean, I don't.
Chinese what? Wine?
Wine. So
who drinks wine from China?
Go ahead. Raise the tariffs.
Chinese wine. Are you kidding me?
And pork.
I wouldn't drink. I wouldn't.
Mushu pork? I like mushu pork.
Mushu pork with a bottle of Beaujolais from Peng Saipeng, I guess.
Oh, boy.
All right. Hey, we are less than a week away from opening day, Len. We're going to be joined by General Manager of the Mets, Sandy Alderson, when we get back. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Vider with traffic.
Morning, everyone. It's 7:40. I know we had advertised Sandy Alderson, Mets General Manager. He's in a closed-door meeting at this minute, but we will have him on later in this hour. So perhaps,
can we find out what's going on in that meeting?
Well, maybe he'll have news for us.
Yes.
So stay tuned. So if we can, we're going to move him to about 7:54, and then hopefully have him on. You know, there's a hostage situation developing in France.
A town in
southern France.
Hey.
Yeah, apparently a policeman was shot. They were only saying that, but now this... this person who they're being described as an Islamic terrorist has taken eight hostages.
Eight hostages? Yeah. Where in France? Do you have the town?
I don't have the exact town in front of me. Let me try to find it
this
while
is
we
not
speak.
Good.
Eight people have been taken hostages in a French supermarket.
I know.
Hostage taker reportedly yelled Allahu Akbar, so that's pledging allegiance to ISIS. This is out of the. Let's see if it gets the name of the.
Well, France has had a lot of trouble with terrorism. I mean, that horrific bombing of the restaurants and the shooting in the nightclub a couple of years ago. Now, you know, France had the. Dare I say it, Len, a very lax immigration policy, open borders, a lot of foreigners in there who have been radicalized, jihadists living in, it's developing here on CNN, living in the what they call the banlieues of banlieues around Paris, which are kind of poor suburbs, and that's where a lot of these jihadists were living and where they come from.
They're calling the southwestern French town of I think it's pronounced Trebes, T-R-E-B-E-S, Trebes or Trebes.
Trebes.
I'm not familiar with
Trebes.
Maybe it's Trebes. Yeah. That's where it's going on. A source at the Paris prosecutor's office said counterterrorism prosecutors are investigating, et cetera, but they're saying there are eight people have been held captive in a supermarket.
All right, it's Trebes. It would be pronounced. I'm seeing it on CNN with the accent. Trebes, France.
Hostage taker had shot a police officer. We don't know the condition of the police officer, but they are definitely saying that this hostage taker has pledged allegiance to ISIS. So we'll follow that story as the morning goes on. You know, we mentioned our big three stories about Mayor de Blasio.
Yeah.
And how this guy Singh is singing on the witness stand in the Mangano trial.
He will be on his way to Sing Sing, perhaps.
Well, he's saying he's testifying. That he raised as many as $80,000 from others, these people you call straw donors, to skirt contribution limits. So what he wanted to do was get better terms for his restaurant. He had this Water's Edge restaurant in Long Island City, which I am familiar with.
You've been to that restaurant?
In fact, my...
you went with Mangano, right?
No, I did not. And it was not owned by Mr. Singh when I was there. If you really want to know, we had our son's bar mitzvah there.
Really?
Many, many years ago. But it was owned by a different family from the South Shore of Long Island.
Uh-huh.
So he's donated all this money to de Blasio in return for getting better lease conditions or negotiations at the restaurant. So,
and de Blasio said when Singh was going to funnel some money to some candidates that de Blasio was supporting, including, according to Mr. Singh, Congresswoman Yvette Clark, de Blasio wanted Singh to raise some money for her. And he said, well, it's going to be tricky. I may have to do this, then the other thing. And de Blasio said, according to Mr. Singh, listen, I don't. No, I don't want to know. Just do whatever you got to do.
Well, what do you think the mayor's spokesman said today?
Nothing there. Nothing to see. Move on. Get out of here. Yeah. That's it.
We've dealt with this. We've addressed this. They've investigated, and they have. It has been investigated by obviously.
Well, maybe they should open the investigation.
Reopen it.
Yeah. Take another look. Mr. Singh, drop that bombshell at the... Len, just a little Mets business here. I want to congratulate Donna Wright, who was caller number 16. She is from Belvedere, New Jersey, and she won two tickets to the Mets versus the Cardinals on March 31st, when I think you and I are going to be there at Citi Field.
Well, we'll be there the 29th.
This is the game
number two of the season. And we will have four tickets to see that same game, Mets Cards, on the 31st. We'll have that at 8:30. And if you're tuning in for Sandy Alderson, we had advertised 7:40. Sandy had a big meeting in Port St. Lucie, and we're now keeping our fingers crossed that he'll be with us around 7:54.
We're going to grill him on that meeting. It sounds like an important behind-closed-doors meeting. We want to know what he was talking
about. So anyway, one other de Blasio story from yesterday is he is urging Albany to add more of these red light or speeding cameras near schools.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like a bad idea, but let's see what the mayor has to say here.
Let me tell you something about speed cameras. Where there's a speed camera, the facts are proven. We know this. Where there's a speed camera by a school, speeding goes down by 60%. 60%.
Well, if that's true, then...
He's revved up there.
Really is.
We've seen too many times that even though the facts are on our side, the truth is on our side, the truth's been ignored. But your voices can't be ignored. But you have to go up there in big numbers, and you have to go up there with strength and energy. Are you ready to do that?
Yeah! Who are these people? Where do you gather up these people?
It's like 20 people there.
Gathered up 20 half-interested.
Yeah, we're ready. Mr. Mayor, what about that money that Mr. Singh raised for some candidates that you were supporting?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to know. Don't bring it up. Don't talk to me about it. Just do it. That's what the mayor said.
This was a rally yesterday. Okay. Yeah. So he joined some other city council members and city politicians, and they're rallying. Obviously, this is after the double tragedy in his area of Park Slope.
Yeah.
When the 4-year-old and the 1-year-old.
Terrible.
We lost Joshua. We lost Abigail. We lost Kevin. These are three children who should be alive today. They're not coming back.
Well, they were not red light cameras. That wasn't near a school in Park Slope.
It was a crossing.
Yeah. And he's asking for more help near schools.
Tell the governor, tell his staff, tell them the story of Abigail, the story of Joshua, the story of Kevin. Tell them what these families have been through. Tell them it's all of our responsibility to make sure it never happens again, and we have the tools.
Well, why don't you tell
him? Apparently, he can't tell the governor because the governor doesn't like him and won't listen to him.
You read my mind. Can't these two guys,
babies.
I mean, they're in the same party. Hello, you're both Democrats. Can't we all get along?
Cuomo's a thug and de Blasio's a boob in my estimation. The thug and the boob. So, yeah, de Blasio can't get him on the phone. Ask for some red light. So he's telling, the voters, go up there and you ask him.
All right. Well, coming up, we hope we can get Sandy Alderson on the phone. I don't know. Maybe that's a really big meeting going on in Florida. We'll find out. Mets general manager. Hope to have him next. If not, maybe we'll have Cuomo on to discuss his issues with the Blasio.
The thug gov.
And your next chance to win $1,000 coming up after the news at 8 o'clock. Right now, let's check out traffic and Bernie Vice.
Good morning, everybody. At 7:54, we're still waiting on Mets general manager Sandy Alderson. He's in a closed-door meeting, Len, so if we can grab him in the 8 o'clock hour, maybe we'll have some breaking Mets news that Sandy can tell us about.
Better be big. It's been a long meeting, so we want lots of Mets news.
We're going to pound on that door and get into that closed-door meeting. Hey, we've got... We got a hostage situation in the south of France in a town called Trèbes. A gunman pledging allegiance to ISIS has taken 8 hostages in a supermarket. One may be dead. There are reports of a body not moving on the floor there. And also in another town only 15 minutes away from Trèbes, Carcassonne, a policeman was shot. So their BBC is calling this 2 separate incidents. We don't know what's going on, but these other acts of terror in France, they have more than one terrorist doing stuff. Remember, you had the shootings at the nightclub at the same time you had the shootings in the restaurant. Right. So these things can be coordinated, can be planned in Carcassonne and Trèbes in the south of France,
well,
so we'll keep
they're
you
fairly close,
updated
right?
on that. Yeah, they're 15 minutes away from each other.
So it's a possibility.
Coordinated terrorist attack.
Or is it possible that the guy who shot the policeman, by the way, the policeman has not been critically wounded. Is it possible the person who shot the policeman then took hostages, or maybe the incidents are not related? I don't know.
BBC, which I trust, is calling it 2 separate incidents. So we'll keep monitoring that terrible situation.
Well, what they're saying, Michael, is the hostage taker has killed at least one person inside the supermarket. So we do have one person dead, according to the CBS News report.
And he has pledged allegiance to ISIS.
Now, there are reports of at least 2 bodies seen laying motionless in size. This is a bad situation, and he has declared himself a soldier of the Islamic State. So this is the latest terror incident that's going
in Europe.
On south of France.
Yeah. Listen, France has a lot of problems, Len. They have had a very lax immigration policy for many, many years. They've welcomed a lot of Muslims, Islamic people into the country. And the problem, though, is they welcome them in over all these years, but they don't give them any jobs. The unemployment rate in France hovers around 20%. These Arab guys sit around with absolutely nothing to do.
But is that the job of the state to give them jobs?
No, the job of the state is to have a healthy economy so people have a chance to work. And these guys, they sit around doing nothing.
Right.
This jihadism festers there. They're already in the country. And then they launch these attacks. We have 2, what appears to be, terrorist attacks in the south of France today.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll keep you up to date on that as the news develops. All right, here's an interesting proposal from a city councilman.
Oh, this is great. This will fly.
Yeah.
This is like the guy, remember the one the other day, a guy wants to fine you for smoking and walking.
While you're walking, yeah.
Walking and smoking.
Don't these councilmen have anything better to do than come up with cockamamie laws that are not going to pass?
pass.
You
please.
Can smoke and stand still.
But if you, take a step, $50 fine. All right, so this guy. Now, listen, you work hard and your boss sometimes calls you after hours on the cell phone. Our boss does to check in. You know.
Not often, but on occasion, which is nice.
Which is perfectly fine. Yeah. I worked for newspapers for years. If there was a story that was breaking, my editor, who was ever running the paper that night, would call me anytime during the night. Say, hey, big Broadway breaking story. I was on top of it at 11:30, whatever happens. Well, there's a councilman here. What's his name? Rafael Espinal. He's proposing legislation to make it illegal for your boss to call you after hours. He says, put your cell phone down and enjoy dinner worry-free. Your employer, your boss, should not be able to call you on your phone after you have left work. That's a big law. That's going
to
pass.
Yeah, that'll pass in a heartbeat. He wants to require employees, illegal for employers to require their employees to answer any calls, texts, or emails during non-work hours. Yeah, this is very smart, makes sense, and very enforceable.
And this is a real way to get ahead in your career. Don't pick up your cell phone when the boss calls.
So if something is going on in the city and there's an emergency, don't call him because he's not helping you.
Nope, not when he's off duty.
This is absurd. This is absurd. I don't understand what these councilmen do. This one, the other guy who wants to fine you while you walk and you smoke. He does say, though, that there are laws in Europe, in France, Germany, and Italy, and even in the Philippines, to protect workers' rights to be free from having to answer phone calls from your boss.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't you just say unemployment is about 20% in France?
Exactly. Well, yeah, I was going to say, this is precisely why. Precisely.
So, Natalie, it's illegal for you to email me when I'm off work. That's you.
Oh, that's true.
She's constantly sending me emails. Why don't we interview this person?
Natalie's our producer here. I don't want any show prep anymore, Natalie.
Nothing. We're off.
You've got to get it in before 7 o'clock, after 7 o'clock. I'm not looking at any of the rundown for the next day's show.
Someone told me I didn't have to work until after, when the show was over and we go off the air, I didn't have to work until I walked in again, I'd be really happy, but we'd have no show.
We'd never get on the air. You can email and text us, Natalie, it may be illegal one day.
So. Take it from me. You're not going to get ahead in your career if you don't answer the boss's phone after hours. So, all right, a tragedy in Harlem. A firefighter is dead after a fire on a movie set. Plus, your next chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.
Your new wake-up call.